So your mental health is important, everybody. That's what we're saying. Is. And you think it's an insult to Eddie Murphy if I say, is Eddie Murphy inside me? If that's the title of your sex tape, doesn't that seem like an insult? Like you don't even know?
Oh, wow. Yeah. If you're questioning, are you like, are you there?
Sorry. I mean, I didn't mean to circle back to that, but I mean, I just had some follow-up questions.
Hey, follow that instinct. Okay. Always follow that instinct. Hello and welcome to episode number 523 of the podcast. I'm your host, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on things entertained but do not matter.
To find out more about these of our not such a typical pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Podcast, and we're still on Twitter and calling it Twitter at Podcast Pod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be previewing the fall movies.
But before we do that, you guys, we have a live show on Saturday, September 30th in Atlanta. And if you've been on the fence because maybe you'd have to come by yourself, just an FYI, we have a solo travelers meetup that costs no money on Saturday morning, hosted by Indy, our delightful community manager. You just have to RSVP at knoxandjamie.com/RSVPATL. Also, this is a great week to sign up for our newsletter. Note for the audio, it's also free. And this week we have your fall pop culture bucket list, 40 books, movies, TV shows, and a listener curated 8-hour playlist that will put you in the mood for all things autumn without becoming pretentious for using the term autumn. It's a win-win. There are almost 25,000 folks who get our newsletter, and we have a record-breaking open rate because we don't send no junk. So sign up at knoxandjamie.com/newsletter. Both of these links to the free goodness in the show notes.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, Jamie. It is, as you mentioned, the call to action. So the week of our second live show. Like, can we do a quick vibe check? Like, how's everybody feeling?
Feeling great. So
okay. Feeling great, she said. Not feeling great. You know,
listen,
that kind of a deal?
I feel like one of my organs is moving on its own right now. And I don't know why. Like, where's it going? There's no room. You got to stay over there.
That sounds like a great Pixar movie setup. You know, the plot, like
is
the
Eddie
wants
Murphy
to be alone.
Inside me right now? What's he doing in there?
Keep that. Title of your sex tape. Aaron, what's your vibe? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I feel really good. I'm on Wellbutrin now too.
We're doing great.
Should I say that? I don't
know.
No,
I think you should say that because listen, I mean, we're not medical professionals.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor.
Yeah.
But I will say, Aaron, I have traveled many times on a plane with Aaron.
That's right.
And when we went to Austin, Aaron had zero stress. Like she did not need to, like she didn't do all her things. She wasn't nervous when we took off. I was like, girl, what's going on? And she was like, I think I have a new drug combo that's working magically.
It's just really, really firing off in all the right ways.
So your mental health is important, everybody. That's what we're saying.
Is.
And you think it's an insult to Eddie Murphy if I say, is Eddie Murphy inside me? If that's the title of your sex tape, doesn't that seem like an insult? Like you don't even know?
Oh, wow. Yeah. If you're questioning, are you like, are
sorry,
you there?
I didn't mean to circle back to that, but I just had some follow-up questions.
Hey, follow that instinct. Okay. Always
thank
follow
you.
That instinct and be like, what's the deal here? I think it's great. I think it's great for you and Eddie. Aaron, I know UAB took one on the chin.
Hey, but
this
I think
weekend.
They played hard.
They had to play the number one team in the country.
Listen, I was watching in an analog fashion. Uh-huh. I was what? On the
very normal way to say it. Don't worry
right.
about it.
I was looking at the numbers.
Oh, like the little ball that moves on the green graph.
No, it was on the Google when you uh-huh. can look at the score, not on the video. I wasn't watching the video.
So you were just watching a score change?
Yeah, I wasn't watching the. What is the thing? What's the thing? We don't watch it on. It's not the
like
TV.
The GameCast,
YouTube
the GameCast?
TV.
No, it's not. I was not on TV. It was
you were Googling the score. Is
no,
that what you?
Yeah, it's just what the Google comes up.
Yep.
So that sounds like you just Googled the score.
Right. But then it would change. Google has a thing where it changes the score.
Oh, okay. I don't know about that.
I think
know
it's like the GameCast. I think it is. And I just want to be honest. I didn't expect you to keep up beyond last week. So
oh
the fact
gosh,
that you were
no,
Googling.
I'm following them on Instagram now.
Oh, I love it.
That's I bought lovely. A shirt.
Did you really?
I'm in.
She's in.
Listen,
she's in.
I think it's great. And you're right. They played great the first half. They got destroyed in the second half. Do you guys know how much Georgia paid them to come play?
I was going
to
say, that's where they made their bank.
Yeah, I hope a lot of money.
$300,000.
Aaron, do you have a guess?
Yeah, I hope it was like a cool hundred thou.
Cool hundred thou. I love it. A
how
cool
much was
thou.
It?
What was it?
Jason, do you have a guess? Do you want to get in here and have a guess?
Let's say 2 million.
Two.
Oh,
okay.
Dang.
Jason's closer. It's 1.8 milli.
Wow,
that's
great.
Good for you, UAB.
Listen,
that's a win right there.
Way to go, Blazers.
You don't go to Athens to get that BTB, get that butt beat for less than a mil. Okay, you just don't do it.
I'm proud of them. Good job,
them.
Coach Dilfer.
And guess what? They're going to solve a cancer with that. So that's, good for them.
That's
what,
right.
What's Georgia doing? You solving cancers? I don't think so.
Just beating up on people.
Listen,
that's
Jan's
all doing.
Very upset about how poorly Alabama is performing this season. She's really struggling. She just
be.
Screams a lot. I'm just telling you.
It's not
going to
get better. It's
yeah,
gonna get
I know
worse.
It's not. It's awful.
Well, we're talking about college football. We're talking about movies. We're talking about the live show. Obviously, this means it's officially fall. My daughter had her birthday this weekend. She's the line of demarcation from summer to fall.
It's precious.
And I'm wearing Nike Under Armour pullovers right now, as you can see.
Wait, is Nike and Under Armour, aren't they different?
Yeah, but I'm alternating between them. Like yesterday, I had a Nike. Today, I had an Under Armour.
I have a long sleeve. Aaron has on a denim jacket. We are willing it. We're willing
look at it. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. We have no other choice but to know that it's time for Jamie's favorite episode series, the fall movie preview.
Listen, it's because to me, the ridiculous, it falls in line with the predictions episode. It's a very stressful episode because predictions are stressful, although I'm killing it this year. Like, I predicted that Sophie and Joe would break up.
That's true.
I'm very proud of that. You predicted that Taylor would date an athlete. We talked all about that in the morning.
Did I really?
You
did. Know that.
You did. And I'm really proud of that. But I have to make predictions with not much information.
That's right.
I can't just pick and choose what movies I want to talk about. Like, when I do predictions, I can talk about headbands. You know what? I can talk about anything I want. This is like, you got to talk about Flowers of the Killer Moon. Do you think it's going to be good? Do you not think it's going to be good? And it feels like so much pressure, especially because I'm the one that reviews How Did We Do last year.
Sure.
And I'm just going to spoil it. It maybe didn't go well.
It wasn't so great. You know what, though? I don't think people listen because they think we have the right takes. I think they just think we have a lot of heart in our takes. So I would just like
That's
to release
right.
you from that burden, you know? Just like in this moment, we're going to talk about the movie Reptile. I don't know, Jamie, if I'm going to say I think it's going to be incredible or I think it's going to be terrible. I'm going to wait and just feel the vibes at that point, you know? And I would encourage you to do the same. Just like,
no, that's
let
probably
it be free,
wise. It's probably wise.
Okay, so some baseline stuff for some context. In terms of why do we do this, this is a recurring series because obviously a lot of the content we create, we're trying to curate stuff. We want to curate selections and movies and TV shows and books and stuff like that to save your time. But an episode like this is really about saving your money because it's expensive to go to the movies and they are a time commitment and you're busy. And we want you to be good stewards of that money so that you can give it to us, but also so you don't waste it on stupid movies like that we're going to talk about later. In the show notes, this is one of those episodes where you really want to be in the show notes to watch the trailers that we're talking about because we're going to cover a lot of movies. So Andy is going to dutifully put those trailers in the show notes. And in terms of just like, well, let me ask this before I talk specifics. Jamie, has your movie going strategy has been pretty consistent. Yes. Has there been like any changes or like any evolutions in how you interact with movies right now?
Well, I used to love, for me, I was always like, the bigger the ensemble, the better.
Yeah.
Like a Barbie moment, right? Like an Oppenheimer. But I would say my general rule is those are not going to be good.
Okay.
Because I think about like Babylon. I think about Amsterdam.
That's right.
And I'm not as convinced that the big ensemble pays off always. And so that I'm a little more hesitant about. But I haven't really been to them. Listen, I saw 54 movies by July 21st. Wow. I'd seen 54 movies. I have not seen another movie since July 21st.
Wow.
Like,
there's not been much to see, man.
There's not been much to see. So I'm excited to get back on it.
Well, you know, so you haven't seen Expendables? I don't understand. Like, why? Why haven't you seen? What's that about?
I really miss out. Listen, it's because the popcorn's not enough of a draw for a three-hour old. Listen, can the olds? I mean, I'm getting old, but I recognize I don't want the olds to make movies. Okay. I want the youngs to make movies. I don't need to see myself in Expendables. I don't need to.
I'm going to say something really brave, and I want you all to like really support me in this. I don't need any more representation. I feel like I'm good. I feel like I've gotten
it. Well, for sure, you're probably good. I mean,
I was being brave, and you just you ruined it.
I'm just trying to represent other listeners. Listen, but I will say I don't need to see 47-year-old women try to have a meet cute in a rom com. I know that. I don't need that anymore.
Built around Tom Brady? Now are you back in? Because you should be.
I'm further away than I've ever
been. I want to challenge the old action stars, the men specifically. If you're going to do this, I think you need to go all in and just go, we're doing fully nude scenes, full nudity.
Oh, you know,
bring some razzle dazzle.
Let's bring some righteous gemstones to the Expendables.
I would
love that.
A lot of pee pee. Let's talk a little bit about, is Eddie Murphy in me now? Let's talk about some things to consider when you're making a choice about what movie to see. Obviously, actors and directors and the trailers are important. But I think when you're thinking about actors and directors specifically, just think about who your season passes are. You've got someone who, anytime they come up with a movie, you're super excited. Chase that interest. Be interested in that. Ryan Gosling, is that somebody? Lakey Stanfield, is that somebody? If they're in a movie, go see it. Don't make it complicated. I think in terms of production houses, the only one, I won't speak for you, Jamie, but the only one I really trust right now is A24. That probably feels true for you as well.
It's
true on site. Like I trust them. And I think it's going to be good. And the inverse of that is if it's going to be on Netflix, I've reduced the ability, like I've reduced the win percentage of this movie because I automatically think this is probably going to be garbage, you know, and it's got to over exceed my expectations in that regard. Now, in terms of the types of movies you are going to probably see or you'll have to pick through, you have the big franchise IP. This is all the Marvel, any kind of superhero adjacent stuff. That's what you're looking at. You've got the type of movie where the actor or the director is the IP. So this isn't really like tethered to a superhero or some kind of brand. This is more like Leonardo DiCaprio, Denzel Washington, Tom Cruise, Martin Scorsese, Chris Nolan. Like they're the name and they are the box office draw. Sometimes you're going to get a heat check movie. And this is when someone is so hot and so on fire that they do something crazy just to see if they can pull it off. I think we compared this to like when Steph Curry shoots from like half court just to see if he can do it because he might be able to. And if he does, it's incredible. But if not, no one's like that disappointed in it. You've also got a zigzag movie. A zigzag movie is when a director actor who's known for a specific thing wants to show you that they can do other stuff.
No, we don't want to see other stuff though.
I mean, we do, but we also don't because they never do it well.
No,
we've got a few zigzag
don't.
Movies we're going to talk about. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a huge ensemble movie that Jamie mentioned. This is either a Woody Allen movie, which woof, or everyone's getting a beach house because they're getting paid to be in this movie.
God, you know what movie that is? That's The 355 with Jessica Chastain, Lupita Nyong'o, Penelope Cruz. That movie is so, and I wanted it to be good. That movie is so bad. But Diane Kruger was like, would you like to come to Montecito now where I live?
Yeah. Do you want beachfront? Because this movie will get you that beachfront right
now. That's
right. And then lastly, we have the sad, tragic historical or biopic movie. This is now really like only made to chase awards. It's not very uplifting, but it is. Like Killers of the Flower Moon. We'll talk about it. This is firmly in that kind of stratosphere of what we're talking about.
Are you looking forward to the fall? Like of the movies?
Like just in general, like the season or like the movie season specifically?
No, there's just like the, well, I mean, like you into pumpkin spice?
I am actually. I think I'm really having like a resurrection with pumpkin spice. How went this morning? Just like the smell. You know, I've been on blueberry coffee, but I was like, I need a change.
Blueberry coffee.
It's a great smell in the car, you know? Because I'm in car drop off for like an hour before I get to the office. So I need like the really great smells.
Okay,
like really
that's populated. Fair. Okay, good.
But yeah, I am looking forward to it. Are you like, what's your, if this was like Mad Money with Jim Cramer and you were talking about like buy or sell this fall movie season, would you be like, yeah, this is definitely a sell or a buy?
I think it is. Well, I don't know how, what does it mean? So if I buy it, is that, I think it's great. Or if I sell it, do I think it's great? No, I buy it. Because I want to own it and make it make more money.
Exactly. Boom. That's a stock market corner, you know?
Does that make you nervous owning a business with me when I talk like that? My bad.
Listen, as long as you're not investing any of our money, I feel good.
I am not. Listen, I would buy it because I feel like it's been such a dark couple of months since Oppenheimer and Barbie. Like, we've just not had a lot of great movies. And because of the strike, and now it's like all hope is returning. Because even the movies that have left the fall slate that we're still not going to get, like Dune and things like that, I'm like, okay, because I'm like, what's left is still really amazing.
Yeah. I'm a little sad that they fled the scene. You know, but I think this is secretly actually a pretty sneaky good gathering of movies.
I agree.
As we'll realize and talk about. Before we do actually talk about some of those specific movies for this fall, do you want to hold us accountable and see how we did last year?
Okay, so we covered October and November of last year, and Knox covered the October. So let's walk through it. He said that the winners would be, first, The School of Good and Evil on Netflix. He predicted specifically that the Rotten Tomatoes score would be 88.5, and he took
why,
the
why
over.
Why would you do that? Why would you pick a specific score?
That's right. You did it a lot, actually, in this episode. And he went with the over, and then the score was 37%. So that was a miss.
Maybe it's not finished yet.
I'm telling you, it's Kerry Washington. She's the problem in that cast. I'm telling you, she's the problem.
I don't know if I mentioned this in the episode, but I'm biased because I went to, it was some kind of book release event that I went to for All Things Reconsider, I think. And the person who wrote that series gave a talk, and I was like, this is the greatest talk I've ever heard in my life. Obviously, this Netflix TV show based on that book is going to be great. I was
not in their hands at all, but made by completely other people. Then you also said the other winner would be Black Adam. Now, here's what you said. You said it would be a win, not because it was going to be great.
Yep.
Because you said specifically it would not go over 70% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
And you were right. It was 38%. So okay. That was
I'm technically correct on that.
That's right. And you said it's going to make an ungodly amount of money. I would argue that technically, is $393 million an ungodly amount of money? I think so. I think it is.
That's a lot of
money. That's right. Now, is it ungodly when the budget was $250 million? Maybe not as much. You also asked, is this a case study if The Rock can engage his audience? And I think it proved he cannot. Like, they're not going to show up for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you did predict perfect losers. I mean, you actually nailed this perfectly. You said Amsterdam would be a loser. Your only hope was that Christian Bale could save it. He could not. Right. You said the Rotten Tomatoes score would be 55%, and you took the under. It was 32%. 32.
Good call, me.
And I wanted it to fail because David O. Russell is gross. And so, because remember, don't forget about him bullying his niece at like a workout place. Remember that?
Coach Knox, and I'll just say Coach Jamie Tip. Yeah, I didn't get that permission, but I feel confident about it.
Don't
sexually bully your niece ever. Not even in a gym, but probably ever. We can not anywhere.
Not at Trader Joe's either. Halloween Ends, you said would be a loser. It is 40% on Rotten Tomatoes. I argued, though, that people who like horror will watch anything, and I stand by that because it did make $104 million against its $33 million budget, which is a better percentage than, again, Black Adam made. And then finally, we both agreed fully that the loser of the season would be Ticket to Paradise. There are people listening right now who would claim that that's their favorite movie of 2022. And we're so glad you're here. We're trying to help you. Let us help you. It was 57% on Rotten Tomatoes. That movie is so bad. It was a beach house movie. We said that. You said in that Caitlin Dever is a better actor than George Clooney.
Wow.
And I think
I stand by that.
I think you're right. And you know what I was thinking about? Because Caitlin Dever was in Short Term 12.
Yeah.
Listen, as a reminder, guys, Short Term 12 is a phenomenal movie from 2013. It starred Brie Larson, Caitlin Dever, Lakeith Stanfield, and Rami Malek. Like, what are you talking about? Like, who collected a group of people that have gone on to better success than that. And then our Stay Frosty was Tar. You were down for Tar. You were Tar's going to do. And listen, it got 7 Oscar nominations, including Best Picture. You said that Nicole Kidman is the photograph and Kate Blanchett is the in real life.
Oh, yeah. Dog, I like that.
Right? Right?
I like that.
It feels very hurtful to Nicole Kidman. But you also said Till would be a huge success. It was 96%. We talked about Triangle of Sadness. You said despite it being super European and weird, you thought it would be very successful. And it did get 3 Oscar noms, including Best Picture.
Sure.
Except that girl died that you talked about. That look, you were like, she looks like blah, blah, blah. And then she died. She died.
Did I say like she looked like someone cool or something bad?
No, someone cool. No, you were being complimentary.
I was like, Jason, cut that immediately. No, cut that now.
And then you did also say that Mr. Harrigan's Phone would be a hit and it would be a 70% on Rotten Tomatoes and it was 45. You were putting all your chips on Donald Sutherland.
Sure.
Which I think is sometimes maybe.
To be honest with you, I don't even know what we're talking about. I don't know what is that, a Mr. Harrigan's opus?
Exactly. No, exactly. Yeah, it's just a
telephone. Is this the one where Ethan Hawke looks like Michael Jackson and he lures
kids in?
No, that's
a different phone movie. These are different phone movies.
So many phone movies. What?
Okay. And then for me, I also mentioned that I thought the loser of October would be My Policeman, starring Harry Styles. And it was 45%. That movie is so bad. I watched it. Okay. And in November, I handled November. So I said the winners would be Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. It was 84% Rotten Tomatoes. It made $860 million, which is... more than twice what Black Adam made.
Okay. Did you take any risks though? Did you take any non-gimmies?
No, but Black Adam.
Gotcha.
Well, you're right. Black Adam was a risk for you to pick it as a winner.
It was. It didn't work some out. Of us like degree of difficulty. I guess I some of us don't.
And then I picked The Fablemans, which believe it or not, it's 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was like amazing. But
so you picked the Black Panther sequel and a Steven Spielberg movie.
About his
this
song.
Is what risk looks like, people.
No. But here's where I really took a risk and you made fun of me. And I was right. Weird: The Al Yankovic Story on Roku Channel.
Okay.
83%. I made it a green light and it has 8 Emmy nominations. Emmy still pending. So... dang. I kind of love that. And then my
what was that box office on that one? Did you get the box office?
It was streaming. There's no box office.
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally.
And then
what we do in the shadows. Totally.
Stop it. Strange World, 72%. I said it would be a loser because I didn't trust Jake Gyllenhaal being the lead voice actor on an animated film. But apparently people liked it. Although it did only make $38 million and it did go to theaters. So that's not a lot of money.
I feel like it weirdly, like everyone hated it at first and then people started to like it. So I don't know if it was a cultural war thing, but it was a weird, like it wasn't obviously
it had
a success.
The first openly gay character in a Disney film.
You know how people feel about that? Thanksgiving, Jamie. Well, they just do not want to hear that. Okay. I just want some turkey.
Potatoes are very gay. I don't understand why we can't just be gay at Thanksgiving. This is so exciting. Okay. And then Disenchanted was a loser. I said, because I was mad. Listen, I was mad that this was distracting Amy Adams from doing better things.
Yeah.
And did you know what? I looked in her IMDb today. She has not made a movie over 75% on Rotten Tomatoes since 2016 with Arrival.
What?
She made Dear Evan Hansen, The Woman in the Window, Justice League, Hillbilly Elegy, Sharp Objects, Vice, and Justice League. No way.
Okay,
you know
what though?
Twice. But
I think you can see the thought process behind some of those choices. Like Hillbilly Elegy, I feel like she thought this is awards bait. And Glenn Close got that big mammal energy coming in here.
Yes, yes.
And it just, none of those like popped off like they should have.
No, they didn't. But I will say she got 4 movies in the works. And I do just want to point out one is Average Height, Average Build.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Adam McKay's next film. And it's a serial murderer hires a lobbyist to change the law so that he can commit murder more readily.
Okay.
And she plays the lobbyist. And the serial murderer is played by Robert Pattinson.
I love that.
What? Don't that you love crazy. That? I'm into that. And then I said that losers would be the people we hate at the wedding. That's that awful Kristen Bell and Ben Platt horrific murder that was done to me when I watched it.
That's 32%. Not true. That's not a real movie. You're just making stuff up now.
Listen, and I feel bad. I said that she said would be bad about, you called it the Spotlight for Ladies.
Yeah.
Movie. And because I was worried about the dialogue, because you just see in the trailer her go, no one will talk to us. We have to try harder. And I was like, this can't be good.
But it's like Scooby-Doo dialogue, but in a serious movie.
But
tough.
The rest of the movie was really good. I stand by that was a good movie. And it's 87%. Stay Frosty. Nobody wrote harder for Devotion than me, other than Glenn Powell.
Yeah. And Jonathan Majors, probably, right?
And Jonathan Majors. But
do you like that? Do you like that in retrospect?
We called him beloved, Jonathan Majors. And we want him to be beloved, but we're waiting on the trial to pan out to see
you got a mouse in your pocket? I don't remember calling him beloved. Disavow.
Stop it. that by then we would have called him beloved for sure.
I don't call people beloved. I just know that about myself.
No, you didn't. But you did question my choice on this because you were like, that doesn't feel like a very good war movie.
Yeah.
And you're right. It only made $21 million at the box office. Dang. And then I picked Bones and All because I love Timmy Tay.
Sure.
And I actually liked that movie, but it is very weird. It's not for everybody. And The Menu. I thought The Menu,
it's a good one.
Given the good circumstances, would be a great film. So we did
that, man, that cheeseburger
good.
In the menu. That cheeseburger in the menu is one of the most delicious items I've ever seen on screen. It's so good.
Of course it is. Oh my, are you kidding? It's amazing. So
do you know Caitlin Dever is born on December 21st, just like me, your boy? Interesting. It's a fun fact just for everybody.
In the fall? She has a fall birthday like you?
No. Yeah, that's right. The very end of fall. Thank you, Jamie. 14 years later, but no worries. You know, it's fine. It's all good. Aaron, how old do you think Weird Al Yankovic is?
61.
Jason, do you think
that's pretty good?
You can get closer than that?
69.
Ew. Wow, nice. No, 63. Aaron wins. Aaron wins that one.
I beat you at Wordle and this.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Suck it.
I like it. I like the animosity. Okay, so that is accountability. I appreciate you doing that, Jamie. I know that hurt and stung more for me than you.
It was more for you, though. This is important. For me. Yeah.
Yeah, this is important.
It is important.
I'm glad we got to remember your bravery. You know, thank you for your service.
I'm going to do it again this time. You better get ready.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their mani and pedi systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code PODCAST at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/popcastpod.
Okay, so we're going to talk about October.
Before we get to October, can we talk about just a couple of movies that are coming out this weekend?
Yeah,
that I'm hoping are good. Okay, so one is Dumb Money. Dumb Money is 84%. It's all about the GameStop, Wall Street, Got Rich, and it's got Paul Dano in it, which I'm all about. So that comes out this weekend. We also get The Creator, which is a sci-fi film, which I know very little about, and it is Gareth Edwards. He made the 2014 reboot of Godzilla, and then he made Rogue One, which we both really liked. Mm-hmm. But it's starring John David Washington, which I'm very into, who is like, he's got to hunt down an AI known as The Creator, which I'm into that, Chad GPT. And then we're getting Dix: The Musical, which is A24's first attempt at a musical. And Megan Mullally, Nathan Lane, it's being directed by the guy that did Borat, Larry Charles. And it's Bowen Yang playing God. I am into it. Megan Thee Stallion's in it. It's got 83% on Rotten Tomatoes, so I'm very excited. Also, there's Paw Patrol, the Mighty movie.
Yep.
It's also coming out with voice cast, including Serena Williams and Kim Kardashian returning for a second Paw Patrol.
I didn't know she was in the first one. I didn't know there was a first one. Wow, this is news to me.
Oh, yeah,
right,
it's
now
a huge franchise. It's massive.
Dumb Money, I'm very excited about. The Creator, I am not very excited about. I think I've come to the conclusion John David Washington is the Dak Prescott of actors, and it's just very average. Even though it looks like he should be better, looks like he should be good, you think it's going to be good, and then it's just not. It's just,
you know, the hard part of that is Paul Dano is the Patrick Mahomes of acting. You think he's going to be, you're like, this guy can't be good at stuff. And then you're like, he's an amazing actor, but he's not hot. That's Patrick Mahomes. Not hot at all. Not hot at all.
This
not
is so
hot.
Difficult because I want to embrace your matriculation.
I'm trying to be supportive of bringing sports into this.
I want to embrace the crossover between sports and pop culture, but what you just said was the most incorrect thing and the most incorrect
comparison.
How dare you?
You
could
have ever
said.
Paul Dano is an excellent actor. He's brilliant.
He's not the Patrick Mahomes of actors.
Sure he is.
Listen,
dare you?
Now you're getting into it. Now you're doing the sports thing where you just keep saying, yeah, huh? And you're basically right.
That's what a lot of men do. So
exactly
why can't I do it? That's right.
It's bulletproof. Okay. Speaking of bulletproof, let's go October movies. We're going to start with winners. There's no other way to say this, but the Taylor Swift Eras Tour movie. It's going to be a winner. I know this going out on a limb, but are you guys planning to go see it?
Aaron's taking the girls, right?
Yes, I am.
Aaron didn't invite me, even though I bought her tickets to the actual show.
That's true.
That's fine.
Did you buy Aaron tickets to the actual show? I didn't know that. I was not aware of that.
It was a birthday gift.
I don't remember that. No one said anything.
Listen, I'm not going to go. You know why I'm not going to go? It's just like, unless you're going to give me like behind the scenes, which it's only 2 hours and 45 minutes. So I already know out of the gate, we're not getting the whole show.
Right.
I mean, I think it's fun to go if you didn't go to, but I like went to the thing, and Aaron's taking her girls because they, you know, Marlo didn't get to go to the show. And so she needs to have a special fun thing.
Yes.
But I can't be with that many. They're going to stand up in the theater. I know.
Well,
that
was my question.
Is
this
like a concert?
When Frozen came out, they then re-released it, and it was like Frozen sing along. And the idea was like, you just stand up and sing, and like kids can do whatever they
want.
That's
100% what this is going to be.
That's what this is for, like middle-aged white ladies. Well, congratulations. I hope it goes great for them. You know, I think
they will have a great time.
No, I do think they will have a great time. And it's sold out like so many places. And I do think it'll be fun. And it's going to make so much money.
Yeah,
like,
it really is.
Unreal. And my understanding is that Taylor has done a long-term partnership with Amazon Prime, and that that's why so many of her songs keep showing up in Amazon Prime TV shows, and that that is where this concert documentary will end up, is on Amazon Prime at Christmas.
Is that why they raise, they're going to start showing ads and you have to pay an additional $3?
Everybody's doing that. Everybody's doing that.
I know, but you can't be like, you've got Prime and we've raised the price, but we've lowered the delivery times. And now we're also going to show you ads unless you pay an additional, that's extortion. That's like the classic definition
that's
of extortion.
Capitalism. I don't know what's new to you about all of this, but like, that's part of it. But I do think Taylor Swift, we talked about, now listen, Taylor Swift got a big splash leading up to two big releases that are coming up by showing up at an NFL game this weekend. We talked about it in detail and at length, answering the magic question, are they in love? Is this a PR relationship? Is it both? What does this all mean? Yeah. We talked about it in The More You Know. So if you know, you can get a free trial to be a BFOTS if you go to knoxandjamie.com/Patreon.
That's right. And we've got takes.
We've got takes.
No mistake about that. Okay. The next winner of October, another obvious one, Killers of the Flower Moon. This is obviously Martin Scorsese's adaptation of David Grann's book about the Osage Nation. I mean, look, this is kind of easy, so we can keep it moving. I think this is going to be the Best Picture winner.
I agree.
It might even be the second award for both Marty and Leo.
Best actor,
best director. I think the Leo or Cillian Murphy debate is going to be pretty fierce and pretty good, I think, based on early responses to this.
You know, it's so interesting because David Grann's book, which we greenlit years ago, was really written from the perspective of the FBI. And this movie is not that. And what I had read, because they were on the cover of British Vogue and it was stunning. And Leonardo DiCaprio was like, and I watched the behind the scenes video and he's so charming with Lily and she's all like, and it's so precious. But I was like, oh no, she's way too old for him. But one of the things that was interesting is that they'd written that whole script based on the original David Grann.
Yeah.
And then when we sat down to the table read, Leonardo and Martin Scorsese were like, oh yeah, we can't tell the story this way. Because Martin's and Leonardo DiCaprio was playing the Jesse Plemons role in first table read. And they were like, we can't tell this person. This can't be from their perspective.
It's too sprawling, that story and that book. Theoretically what they've done.
Yes,
really
I'm
centralizing
excited.
It. And because I think the FBI part is a whole different movie. But I just think, like you mentioned Lily Gladstone, I think she might also win. She looks great so far.
That'd be great. Yeah.
In early receptions.
It.
But I think we talk a lot about this in the cinema side pieces that we do, but this movie stands up so apart from other movies right now in how much they intense attention to detail of the setting. So it makes it feel like a real experience. But I think even like little flourishes on the periphery of this movie, like Jesse Plemons, like Brendan Fraser, like it's just, it gives this movie the feeling of a huge event, a huge experience, kind of like Oppenheimer, where like you're in for this entire epic story. And I think it's going to be great. And I think like having De Niro there, is there any person like who is better at being a nefarious old man at this point in their life than Bobby D? Because he just brings the negative energy.
Hands down. And again, just as a reminder, as my green light was in trust, the character that Robert De Niro plays, all of his land was purchased by the Drummonds in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
When because he has to go to prison for doing bad guy things.
Yeah, like I guess murder. That makes him pioneer granddad or something.
You know? It's complicated.
It is complicated. Another winner I'm going to slide in here. And this is a great example of, I have a bad feeling, but I trust the specifics. I trust the receipts I'm seeing so far. This is The Killer. Okay. And this, I've watched the trailer. My immediate gut reaction to the trailer was, I don't know about that, but this is David Fincher. This is Michael Fassbender. This is the guy who wrote the script for Seven. This is Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor on the soundtrack. These are the fundamentals are good here. Okay. The fundamentals are very you would want to invest in this. The movie itself, it kind of feels like a techno Assassin's Creed, but also crossed with like Dexter minus the twincest storyline with Deb. Yeah, we remember that. Dexter, you and Deb, freaking hot for each other. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But like, you know, if I'm talking about my concerns, this is the guy who wrote Seven, but he hasn't done anything really since Seven. He did like Sleepy Hollow. And that's it. And that was like 1995 when he wrote Seven. So that's a long time ago. You know, I'm not a math guy, but that's a very long time ago.
Does it help that he's adapting a graphic novel?
I don't know. Does it?
Maybe not. I don't know that it does.
There's three screenwriters on there. You know, well, that's which true. One's the graphic novel credit, but I don't know.
And when you go to watch The Watchmen, there's one that's good and there's one that's not good at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know which situation this is, but I'm buoyed by the Fincher of it all. I'm also buoyed by Tilda Swinton's in this, who I can only assume is like Fassbender's soulless, like ginger handler, which is just perfect for her.
That's perfect.
And like, even it's the small things when you watch the trailer, the little credits at the beginning have like a little like razzle dazzle, like lightning strike color fade thing.
Yes,
it reminds
yes.
me of Fight Club. That's a stupid thing, but it's an important thing to me. So I'm into it. I'm into the killer.
Well, you know, we're going to love the soundtrack because little Atticus and mm-hmm. Trent are back. And
that's
so,
right.
You know, we're going to love that. I'm always rooting for Michael Fassbender. This ends up coming to Netflix in November. It'll
that's
come
right.
into theaters in October. And so we can all watch this and we can all figure it out together.
Are you bullish? I'm just going to keep doing financial terms. Are you bullish or bearish on Michael Fassbender?
You
can pick your definition on either.
I would say, well, based on Animals in the Wild, uh-huh. bulls are not as aggressive as bears.
I don't know. If
I see a lot of bear
honestly,
TikTok. I see a lot of bear talk, and bears are always coming for people.
You don't get that bull talk. You don't get bull talk. You're not.
No,
like,
I get
that?
Right now. I get elk talk on Yellowstone because they're rutting.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of people scared to go to the post office because they're just elks roaming around looking for a good time and not finding it because them women elks are not down to clown. So
it's not hot girl summer.
So I would say I am bullish because I am hopeful and less aggressive about it. I'm just
bullish
hopeful.
Means hopeful because like the bull got the big genitals and that means like fertile and hopeful. So you got that correct.
Got it. See, I knew I was wrong on the right track. Good.
Another winner I'm going to pick is Foe. This was an adaptation from a book. I know I greenlit it. I don't know if you greenlit it.
No, I think it was just you though.
Okay. But it's a really great book. I really enjoyed. But basically, this is the story of, it's Paul Mescal and, Saoirse Ronan, who I can say the name, her name.
You did it. You nailed it perfectly.
Yeah.
You did it naturally. Yeah.
Thank you to me and God to making that possible.
No H's, but it's Saoirse.
Sure. But they basically have to make a choice between him going to space and him not. And if he does, stuff's got to happen to compensate for his, it's very much like the, who's the kid who played Jesse in Breaking Bad? Jesse Pinkman. Aaron Paul Pinkman. His bad or his Black Mirror episode. It's very similar to something like that.
Yeah.
But the only problem I had was this trailer starts out from visionary director Garth Davis.
Listen,
do you know who Garth Davis is?
I do know who Garth Davis is because
he did The Lion. Outside of that, do you know who Garth Davis is?
Top of the Lake. He did Top of the Lake series,
a TV
which
show.
I really loved. Yeah, I really loved. Visionary director just may mean about this project specifically. It may
I will
not
let
be
you
forever.
Know when you are visionary, sir. You do not get to jump the gun on visionary. Ridiculous.
Paul Mescal is everywhere right now. Everywhere. He is, you know, because he got broken up, gotten his heart broke by Phoebe Bridgers because she ended up with Bo Burnham. And so now the theory is he's back hooking up with Daisy Edgar Jones, which I am down for.
Oh, in real life, not just in that TV show?
No, not just in normal people, but in regular people too. So I'm into that. So I'm looking forward to this movie and it has good buzz. Good buzz.
Okay. Losers. I've got, I think I've decided a Reptile is going to be a loser.
It's 100% going to be a loser. 100%.
Yeah. This is, since we're all agreeing that we're not doing enough Roman Empire content, I wanted to make an allusion to the Roman Empire with this. There's a guy, old super wealthy general named Crassus, and he was like the most wealthy guy and he had the most land. And you know how he got it? You know how he got all that?
Stealing it.
No, kind of, basically. There were no firefighters in ancient Rome for like most of the first part of the empire. So when someone's house caught on fire, he had an army of like 500 slaves and architects. And they would run over there and they'd be like, hey, this sucks that your house is on fire. Why don't you sell it to me for 10% of what it's worth? And you can make a little money and I get a new house and new land. And they'd be like, what's the alternative? And he's like, it'll burn down and it's worth nothing. So they're like, sold. So that's how he came to own like half of Rome, basically. And that idea of something that seems okay in a crappy situation is what this trailer looks like because we have had such a lull in movies. You know, there's just not really been anything out there.
Yeah.
So when I see Benicio, when I see Alicia Silverstone, and I see Timberlake, I'm like,
no, this kind of looks good. No,
this
is
kind of gritty, right? But it's not. But it feels like it is.
Because when I saw the visual, because, you know, in the screensaver of Netflix, you know, they just pop up things and you just get a still photo and then three descriptive words like comedy, titillating, whatever. Yeah. This came up and those three people were photographed together and I had not heard of this movie. And I went, but why?
Yeah.
What is Alicia doing here? What is Benicio doing here?
Benicio is fine. He's fine.
And Justin Timberlake in the bringing up the rear? No, ma'am.
As Justin Timberlake as like the weirdo he probably did it husband, it's just not a good. That's not the choice for him. I feel like this should have been like Evangeline Lilly and Benicio del Toro and Harry Styles if we have to go the musical route, you know? That would be a better cast.
No, I agree.
But the director Grant Singer, he's only done music videos up until this point. He's only done The Weeknd music videos.
Would you like to know the Rotten Tomatoes score right now? Because it premiered at a film festival.
I'm going to say 47.
37.
Ooh, wow.
Tough, guys.
If I told you this was actually just populated with boy band members, like it was Nick Lachey is investigating the murder of J.C. Chassez. And
Joshua, his real name is Joshua.
Joshua Jesus Chassez. And his main suspect are the Hanson brothers. Like, and it's called Mbopped in the Dark. Do you think that would do better than what we're getting right now? I think it would.
I would watch that. I would own that on DVD and Blu-ray. Are you kidding me? I'm just sad you left out Color Me Bad.
I don't know. That's the sequel.
We see you, Oklahoma. We see you.
Have you seen the trailer for Pain Hustlers?
Listen, yes. I'm so glad you're bringing this up in the loser category.
Yeah.
Because that's 100% where it deserves to be.
Yeah, this is so it's Emily Blunt and Chris Evans, and it's based on a nonfiction book by Evan Hughes. I will say I'm also out on like this was a tweet thread, this was an article, this was
that's all fall. That's all the movies coming out.
I'm so tired of that. You know, I'm like it was cool once, but now it's like they built the whole plane out of it, so that's kind of tough. But basically, there's a story of a pharmaceutical company who, shocker, didn't do something cool, and they tried to corner the market on fentanyl, like a fentanyl based spray. It's my big problem here. Is it the tone is off. It's directed by David Yates and Emily Blunt stars. Two people I don't know anything about Central Florida, which is where this takes place. And I feel like if you're going to get into Appalachia or Central Florida, you got to have lived here for a minute. You got to have.
Right, because David Yates is just the Harry Potter guy, right?
That's exactly what he is.
And then Emily Blunt is Mary Poppins 2.0. Like you can't, you don't understand Tampa.
You got no idea what Daytona Beach is, dog. Like, get out of here with this.
Unless you've been to Jacksonville, you can't talk about Jacksonville.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. The tone is like, it wants to be kind of zany and quirky and generic Wolf of Wall Street, but the topic's pretty tragic and horrific. So I'm worried that they're going to be like, that was wild, wasn't it? A lot of people died and we made a lot of
money.
They're
probably like, but you made Dope Sick. Didn't y'all watch that when you were sad? Like,
yeah.
We're good now, right?
If they would have been like, this is the chaser to Dope Sick so you don't feel so sad, I would understand that a little better, but they didn't.
I bet this is one of Emily Blunt's biggest bombs ever. Second to Gulliver's Travels.
Yeah. I don't think you're wrong. Honestly, I really don't think you're wrong. Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for? And what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you'd like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the brushed rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pair sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
All right, for Stay Frosty, you know, I had one that I want to talk about, and it's called Fingernails. Yes. And it has Riz Ahmed, Jeremy Allen White, and Jesse Buckley, and Annie Murphy in it.
Yes.
But I watched four different trailers, and none of them were an actual trailer for the show. And I realized that because in one, Riz Ahmed's name is spelled incorrectly, and in the rest, they use footage from The Bear. And I was like, well, that's a yes, chef. Is that
listen, YouTube is that always trying to be like, we already know what the trailer is. Here it is. It was
close enough that it kind of fooled me. So I can't talk about that. But I do want to talk about the holdovers. This is Alexander Payne. He reunites with Paul Giamatti. And it's basically a prep school teacher has to stay behind over the holidays to supervise the pupils stuck there. Divine Joy Randolph is in this, which is just a full send for me.
Yeah.
I think she's like second generation Octavia Spencer. And I think Giamatti is a specific choice. Like, you know, when he's in a movie, it's like when you get behind a car that says, do you follow Jesus this close?
Right.
Like, oh, that's a religious Enneagram 8. I know exactly what this is now, you know? And when Giamatti's in it, you know exactly the kind of like waspy patois you're going to get.
Listen, he's an unreligious Enneagram 8.
Yeah. He's like an angry turtle. He's here. He's an angry turtle and he wants to teach you history and yell at you. But also this trailer does the thing that you don't get much anymore where it turns and it goes from like zany, kind of like we hate each other to piano music. And you realize they start to understand each other without spoiling the movie. Right. So I was like, I kind of like this.
It looks very good. And I trust their partnership because Alexander Payne and Paul Giamatti, what did they do? Sideways. They did Sideways together.
That's right. Yeah. The wine movie.
The wine movie. Yes.
Yeah. That's exactly right. There, you know, I had Priscilla, but Aaron, I know you said you were done on Elvis stuff. If I told you it's Elvis stuff, but it's Jacob Elordi and Sofia Coppola, does that bring you back into it?
He's very cute, but I don't think I'm interested.
I think I'm also done with Elvis stuff.
I'm good. Like, I feel like we got
And this movie is highly reviewed. Like, it's already been at film festivals and it's highly reviewed. It's probably lovely.
I love Sophia. She's great.
So good. But maybe pick a topic that hasn't been done 87 times. How about it?
I love Sophia in theory, but when I have to sit down and watch her movies, I'm like, does this have to be so atmospheric? You know, does this have to be no dialogue?
Oh, see, I like that.
Yeah.
But I do too. I love long takes. But like, she just like carpet bombs you with it. And you're just does anyone talk anymore?
She's the Wes Anderson for ladies.
Yeah, she's 100%. That's 100% who she is.
How long do you think my son made it in Asteroid City? Under 25 minutes.
Under.
Over under 5 minutes.
Over barely.
Like 7 minutes. He was like, is this the whole movie? Is this like the whole thing?
It's the whole thing. It's the whole thing. It's a vibe. Like, sadly, it's, but yeah. If you love that vibe, it's your vibe. But it's not everybody's vibe.
I don't think I do. I don't think I do. Jacob Elordi's 26 years old and he's 6'5". Those are good numbers for you, Aaron. Those are great numbers.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for double checking for me.
Yep. You're right. Okay. So those are all mine for October. Anything you wanted to add or like I missed that you want to cover, Jamie?
I will say I have seen Fair Play that's mm-hmm. coming out because it was at Sundance.
That looks great.
And it looks great. And it was great. And it's creepy. It's like that 90s Fatal Attraction yep. kind of vibe. Yep. It's very well done. Like yeah. really well done. So, and it's got little Phoebe, you know, Phoebe Bridgerton in it.
Little baby
so.
Bangs and young Han Solo in it.
Yes.
It. Yeah.
They're very good in it. Power yeah, dynamics. Very sexy.
It
yeah.
looks great. Okay. Talk to me about November.
Okay. So, you know, you talk about that sometimes a winner is a winner because they're going to make a lot of money. And that's what I think these three movies are. And I'm hopeful that maybe one of them will actually be also really good. The Marvels, which is all the Marvels, you know, Mrs. Marvel, mm-hmm. Captain Marvel, then Monica, she's there. Listen, we haven't had a Marvel movie. This is the longest time we've gone without a Marvel movie in years. And so I do think there'll be hunger for it because it'll just be like, we just need a superhero. And yeah. so they'll, and so I think a lot of people just tolerate the women and show up in droves. So that
you think this will make a lot of money? Do you think it'll be good?
I'm hopeful. Listen, I do love Nia DaCosta. I did like the remake of Candyman. This is very different type of movie. So I do yeah. not know if it will. And Marvel isn't going to let you be like chaotically creative. They're just going to sure. be like, you do have to connect all these dots to the next season of Loki. And so I think it'll be fine, but I don't think it'll be great.
I do feel like you mentioned like there might be a hunger. I kind of feel like they're in the worst spot ever because it's like, we haven't done one in a while. And then here it is. What do you guys think? And I feel like people are ready to rebuke one. So I'm a little worried about it.
Oh, no. And then I picked Wish because I like a Disney movie. And there's not actually a lot of animated films coming out this fall. Yeah. And so this feels like this will be the thing you have to take your kids to. And then The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Obsessed. And so I think that's the one that I think it's gonna make a ton of money. And I also hope it's really good. It looks like it's going to be really good. And you greenlit the book.
That's right. I love
it. So I'm very hopeful. But as far as like the winners, like for real, first is Maestro. There's just no discussion. Maestro is Bradley Cooper is playing Leonard Bernstein. He's playing opposite Carey Mulligan, which those are two of my favorites ever. Mm-hmm. And they're just talking about them being married until she dies. And spoiler, she dies. And as does he eventually too.
Everybody dies eventually, but why'd you gotta do me like that, Jamie?
So Maestro,
I will say your pitch, it's about their marriage and then they die. That doesn't sound great. You know, I'm not interested in that.
But it's like a lot of it's in black and white. And then you get Bradley Cooper like being, he's directing himself, which he's very good at.
Yeah.
He's wildly good at it. So I think he's going to get nominated for this. I think he'll get nominated as best director.
I feel like this is going to be a great movie, but I do wonder about the scalability of it for people who aren't like, I'm a big Bernstein head, you know?
Aaron, are you a big Bernstein head?
Leonard?
Yeah.
No,
Bonnie Bernstein, sideline reporter. You like her? She's good.
So I feel like theater people love Leonard.
Yeah,
Bernstein,
I think theater heads.
I'm thinking about the Flyover Karens. Like, are they like, I can't wait to see this?
I think, you know what they like? They like Bradley Cooper.
He had to make it with the family involved, and that's always, it's not going to go as hard as it could. So I wished he didn't have to do that because he's pushed all of his chips in to the middle of the table on this. Like, he's been really invested in this. Yeah. I just wish he was able to make something closer to Tar than like a puff piece on a composer, which I'm worried this might be.
Well, maybe he needs more repetitions because it took Todd Fields a minute before he could make Tar, you know?
Sure.
Maybe he needs more time. Okay. And then, of course, Napoleon. Listen, that has men that equate the Roman Empire to Gladiator written all over it. Like, they're like, you know what our second favorite place is? France. We freaking love France. And so it's Stanley Kubrick combined with Joaquin Phoenix, which is, and then Vanessa Kirby shows up. It's going to be a good film. I don't have any doubt about that. Is it going to be weird? Yes.
Yeah.
Am I going to be into that? Yes. Also, yes.
I feel like in lesser hands, this would go off the rails, but Ridley Scott, I feel like this is going to be a steady hand on it. And like a lot of, you mentioned Stanley Kubrick, if you've ever read about what his Napoleon movie was going to be, it is buck wild. Like he spent the whole movie budget on a room full of candles and the studio was like, bro, you can't do this. We're going to burn to death. So like, we didn't get that, but I'm glad we're getting this. And I feel like you mentioned dudes loving the Roman Empire. in France. I don't think dudes love France, but after this, they're going to have like a weird like movie erection about like, do I love France? Because I love Napoleon and fighting, but I don't know about France.
And listen, I just want to go on the record that Knox, for those listening, Knox is not like those guys who are like, yeah, I think about the Roman Empire all the time. Knox literally has books and posters and has listened to hundreds of hours of a masterclass on the Roman Empire. Your guy is like, God, Gerard Butler, for real. So good. No. Like that's your guy.
That's not what Knox is doing. Yeah. Knox I know the charts. Secret to the concrete is seawater.
Did you hear that story he told about the firefighters? Your bro don't know that story. Do you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't know.
Get on my level, dog. Okay.
My final winner of the month, and this is just because the concept, and then I already know that it has been beloved, and that is the movie May, December. Mm. Listen to me. May, December, it stars Natalie Portman as a TV star, as an actress who is shadowing a real life person who has a fascinating story of while that woman was a teacher, she maybe had sex with her student and then they got married and had kids and grew up. And, you know, the way that Mary Kay Letourneau might have done.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so the Mary Kay Letourneau inspiration is being played by Julianne Moore. And so Natalie Portman goes to like their hometown to shadow her, to figure out how to play her, and chaos ensues. And so this already has,
Have sex with one of her kids? That's wild. If that's real, right?
Yeah. No. Todd Haynes did Still Alice. Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think Julianne Moore is his muse.
And so I love Julianne Moore. And I also like that Julianne Moore is like, what? I'm old. I don't care. She's the Sarah Jessica Parker of movies, like where they're like, yeah, I have gray hair and my face is old. I'm old. What do you want? Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to that. So
I would say if we did like a snake draft of actresses most convincingly able to play a teacher who had sex with her student, I think Julianne Moore is a top two lottery pick.
There's no one else even competing. No one. No, they've all gone home. Okay, losers for November. This is not even up for discussion. Okay, losers. What Happens Later? Meg Ryan directing herself in a rom-com with David Duchovny, and they are stuck in an airport and they have to figure stuff out. I think that sounds great. It's based on a play called Shooting Star, which doesn't have anything to do with airports. No, this is all over TikTok because they have paid a lot of money to put ads on TikTok. And so people are like, is Meg Ryan back? No, she's not. She's not back. She's not back. No, I hate to break it to you. This is not going to be good. I stand by that. This is not going to be good. This breaks my heart to even say this. Next Goal Wins. Not a good movie.
I've heard bad buzz about it.
Listen, one of my favorite reviewers said, this is the worst thing that Taika Waititi has ever done, despite cheating on his wife. This is worse. Wow. This is worse.
This is like movie infidelity on the audience, basically.
Yeah. So this is American Samoa soccer team goes to the World Cup and their curmudgeon coach, Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
That's the worst casting of all time. He's supposed to be a comedian. Michael Fassbender?
What
planet? And then here's what Taika has done. Taika has become a celebrity who stars in Rita Ora's TikToks about red light therapy for their faces.
Okay.
He has lost his creative edge. And I am very nervous because I love Taika Waititi. He's made some of my favorite films. And I'm nervous that he got hitched and to someone who none of us can name a song that she's ever performed and had a lot of success with. What is happening? I need these people to get creative again. I need them to be in carpool line and not on the French Riviera. Because that's not where you're being creative. Your French Riviera is not going to help you be creative.
Listen, man, he is in full Zach Attack death spin. You know, he's in that spiral. It's too hot, too fast, too soon. And we just need him back with friends forever.
It's too much. That's right. And then my last one is I am going to hate to take down a horror film, but it's Thanksgiving. The trailer came out 16 years ago.
Uh-huh.
That's not a joke. The original trailer came out 16 years ago.
Because was the trailer like it was a jokey, like, haha, isn't a real movie kind of deal?
Yes. And so it's now it was in Grindhouse.
Yeah.
And then Eli Roth, who people will say to me all the time, they're like, oh, he's great at heart. No, he's not. Clown. Was that good? No. Candy House? No. None of those are good. He's not a good horror filmmaker. This stars, and this is how you know, it's Eli Roth. It's coming out November 17th. Why would a horror film? I know it's Thanksgiving. I know it's set at Thanksgiving. It doesn't matter. Patrick Dempsey, Addison Rae.
Look, I actually don't hate any of this.
No, you
stop it. I do like how you were like, why wouldn't it come out in October? It's coming out November 17th.
Horror movies should come out in October. I don't care if they're about Thanksgiving. They're
but
about
I like
Christmas.
Watching you connect the dots about Thanksgiving. Like that's. But I think it's reasonable to also come out in October. He feels like the horror movie auteur's auteur. To the point where I don't get it, but everyone says it's really great and cool, so I guess it is. But he's one of those, when you see him, one of his movies, you're going to get a lot of squelching gore. And if you're in the mood for that, cool. If not, like, don't watch the movie.
Don't do it. You know? Aaron, if I told you a movie coming out November 17th was called The Treasure of Foggy Mountain, what would you think it's about? Do you think it's a drama or a comedy?
I think it's a horror movie.
Okay, it's a horror movie. What do you think it's about?
I think it's a kid's horror movie.
Ooh, okay, so kids like are that. In it. It's a horror movie for children, or children are in it.
Both. New genre alert. God. What's up?
Okay. And I think it's about like an evil Rumpelstiltskin in Appalachia.
Wait, evil what?
I mispronounced.
Okay.
Rumpel guy. Yeah.
I just want to make sure.
You knew who I was talking about.
I did know. Yeah. I did.
And he awakens early and he has to like find these orbs of power.
Uh huh. Wait, he's got to find them, or the kids need to find
them? Well, the kids have them.
Oh, the kids have the orb.
How do
but
the kids
don't
have
know.
Them?
They don't know.
What do they think it is?
They think
Aaron,
it's
how
like
do you not
a,
know you have an orb of power? I feel like it's
no,
a very
it's,
obvious
they're
thing.
Like hidden. They're normal things, right?
Oh, the
they're
orb like, looks like a KitchenAid mixer.
Exactly.
Yeah. Got it.
And so evil Rumples gets in and they have to fight him.
Gets in like Eddie Murphy?
No.
Well, I was gonna say
Jamie, no.
Aaron, you kind of backed yourself in the corner of like an evil guy has to go like rifle through some kids' stuff. And
no,
it's just
he's
like,
gotta
be careful,
go find you know? The orbs of power. And then when he finds them, they become the treasure of Foggy Mountain.
God, that's actually a great script. Yeah. I would read that script.
I would watch that. Yeah.
So this is almost that. This is about a trio of childhood friends who are now grown up and boring coworkers.
Okay.
And it is portrayed by Please Don't Destroy, the comedy group that is Ben Marshall, John Higgins, and Martin Hurley. On SNL, the sad virgins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I knew she'd get that.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's how I know them.
That's how she knows them is the three sad virgins. We don't know much about this movie. This is produced by Judd Apatow. It does include like cameos from Conan O'Brien and Bowen Yang.
Sounds like they could be evil Rumpelstiltskin.
We don't know that there's not a Rumpelstiltskin, to be clear.
I just think that these guys, this is like if you let Addison Rae make a movie. It's like, no, Addison Rae can dance for 60 seconds. She should not be in a movie. That's how I feel about Please Don't Destroy. I don't
but you know
that
what?
You're...
I want to live in a country where these people have the opportunity to try.
Do you?
I do. I want to hear Aaron's
pitch.
Because
you don't feel like these three
Foggy
Nepo
Mountain?
Babies have enough opportunities. They haven't had enough.
You know what? I'm not here to legislate opportunities or talk about Nepo babies. Just entertain me, okay? I'm old. I'm sad and I'm tired. I can't keep up with all this. Just me laugh, you funny. That's what I'm looking for. Me laugh, you funny.
Okay, well, let me give you a couple of Stay Frosties that are funny. So first is Quiz Lady. It's coming to Hulu.
Looks great.
It looks so good. It's Awkwafina and Sandra Oh playing sisters, and they have to go win big on a game show to take care of their mother's gambling debts. So I'm into that.
More Sandra Oh, please.
More Sandra. And Sandra Oh being funny. I think she's actually really good at being funny. And then a documentary. There are lots of great documentaries that are super sad, so I didn't bring them all up today. You know, like the girl who had AI porn of her put out on the internet.
Okay.
I know. That's not great. Anyway, but the one I am looking forward to the most is Sly. And I wouldn't normally say that. Sylvester Stallone, like a documentary about himself. But let me tell you, this has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What?
It's already come out at film festivals. And people were like, he is the most delightful human who has ever lived. He's the best storyteller. He has the greatest tea on everybody, including himself. So I'm so excited to watch. I actually really love his daughters. They're super fun on the internet. So, and they have a reality show. So I'm really actually weirdly looking forward to this.
I guess I thought Expend Four Bowls was his life documentary. Like, I don't know
why
we
need
another one.
Well, it's also that. That's a fictionalized. That's really a fan
zone.
Fiction. Yeah. And then a couple of quick mentions. Dream Scenario. Look, Nicolas Cage, I want good things for you.
Yeah.
And this is about a man named Paul who just starts appearing in random people's dreams. And Paul is played by Nicolas Cage. It also includes Michael Cera and Julian Nicholson. And it's getting good reviews. It's come out of film festivals. And then the writer-director, Emerald Fennell. You will know Emerald Fennell as she did Promising Young Woman, which I loved. Mm-hmm. She was Midge in the Barbie movie.
Right.
But Emerald Fennell, her next film is Saltburn. And it's set at Oxford, where a student played by Barry Keoghan Well, he becomes obsessed with the lifestyle of a classmate, Jacob Ellerty.
Who is 6'5 and 26 years old. So he is above the legal limit to objectify.
That's right. We are objectifying the S word out of him. That is a very attractive person who I'm pretty sure has cheated on every person he's ever dated.
Well, you know.
But no matter. Listen, I'm not walking into a Jacob Ellerty situation going, this is a man who'll be faithful. This is a monogamous man.
You don't get squatter's rights, okay? No, you're there for a time, and it could be good or long. We don't know for sure.
I know. So is there anything else that's coming out in November that you're like, yes, yes to this? Or what about Trolls Band Together? You excited about that? They're now a couple.
I'm interested in the idea, like, Wish versus Trolls Band Together. Like, what's going to do better? I will hope Wish. But secretly, I'm worried Trolls Band Together, just because NSYNC is back, you know, in it. Yeah. I don't know what story is left on the Poppy and Branch bone, to be honest with you, but I don't know.
It's because they bone. That is what's left. They bone now. They're
you think they troll bone in the third one?
Like 100%. You can't. You're not. What do you mean? Don't. She's looking at me very disappointingly. Erin, they can bone. Why can't trolls bone? How do new trolls come together? Yeah. How do you get a new troll?
Like a mysterious process.
Yeah, I just thought it was through song. Bony. Through like really intense duets.
Trolls, you know, bone.
You mentioned Saltburn. The point at which I was in was when I saw it described as a more sexually explicit, talented Mr. Ripley.
Yes. And I was like,
okay.
All in. Thank you.
I'm interested in that. No, I think you covered all the ones. For the Nicolas Cage one, I know that might sound dicey to people, but ever since The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, I've been back. Like, it has to be a movie that, like, you know, is like he made legit, you know, instead of just like for a paycheck. Like Renfield, yes. The Old Way, no. But I think this might be, Dream Scenario might be one more in line with The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, which is an excellent Nick Cage and an excellent Pedro Pascal. So I'm excited. I'm excited for all those.
Me too. Listen, I'll tell you something. He'd be working.
Yeah. He's got those bills to pay, man. Like, he's got to get some stuff paid off. Okay. That's our conversation on the fall movie slate. If you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions and the biological mechanics of troll dolls, please let us know. nextgamer.com/523. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right. What is your red light this week?
Okay. My red light this week is People Magazine doing, like, trolling me specifically, not troll boning me, but trolling me.
Right.
Because there was a headline on People that was, Scarlett Johansson says she and husband Colin Jost battle over this $46 face serum. And I was like, if I click on this and this is her own skincare line, I am going to fly to New York City and punch their the face. Like, I'm going to be so mad. And that's exactly what it was. It said here, as for the product she and Joe's fight over the most, it's the fan-loved firming vegan collagen prep serum. She says, it's the one thing Colin and I do battle about. I never thought my husband would be using a serum. I'm sorry. Your husband is literally on camera half the year. You don't think he cares about the way he looks?
Yeah.
Like, you don't think he's aware of skincare and the value of taking care of your skin?
That man's got a wall of hair. Of course he cares how his
face
looks.
That's exactly right. Listen, my own dermatologist who handles all of my Botox and all the goodness that I get in my face, he tweeted, he said, it's official. Podcasts are the new skincare lines. Everybody has one, including many who should not. And I quote tweeted that and said, oh God, what if I'm the Scarlett Johansson of the podcast world? This would be so embarrassing. And he promised,
you know what?
The podcast. He does love the podcast.
That's great, Dr. Hartman. I would like skincare professionals to stick to skincare and the podcasting professionals to stick to podcasting. Okay. I'm not ready for those takes yet. There was one on, like, I think it was Yahoo, and it was like, NASA found this asteroid that probably is going to hit Earth. And I was like,
no,
freaking crap. I know this is clickbait, but I got to know. Yeah. So I clicked it, and it was like, maybe in 2343. I was like, man, like, I'm not, come on. You can't say stuff like that.
No, you can't. You're not even going to know anybody.
That's not very long away.
Listen, she's freaking out now. Look at what you've done to her. She's very
upset.
You're
not going to be around.
Well, it doesn't matter. I will have, like, descendants.
Who will be your descendant? Your kids will all be dead.
But their kids might not.
I like the impossibility of the question. Who will be your descendant? Can't answer that, Erin. Checkmate. Boom. You broke.
You got her because she just took a sip. She's about to.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. There's so many I wanted to talk about. I'm just going to stick with The Office is reportedly getting a reboot. Did you see that? Did you see this news?
I didn't see that. Oh,
I mean, I can't think of something
with
I don't
none of
need.
The original cast. That's my understanding. None of the
original
cast.
I saw some stuff that, like, John Krasinski and Mindy Kaling are interested in returning. And
for, like, cameos, though.
Oh, I don't know. Don't I don't mean? Know. I'm not going to put words in all the podcasters' mouths, but I just don't know how are they going to like fit this in around the podcasting schedule? You know, like how are they, they're all so busy and they're all like really like crushing in the podcasting game. Like, how are they going to act?
Because they really are. Like most of them all have, like, that's a true story. Like many
it's not,
of the
I
stars
was being sarcastic.
Have a,
I was being
no,
crappy.
But what I'm saying is many of the stars of The Office now are podcasters. Like that is true. That is a true story.
Well, they are talking about the show they were on. I don't think they're podcasters. You know,
well, that's fair. I would agree with that.
They're just regurgitating experience.
That's right.
Which is kind of what we do, basically.
But, you know, but people were like, how dare you try to remake this classic? And I was like, you do know it was a remake of another show.
Yeah.
Like, that was actually really good also.
Yeah.
Like, The British Office was excellent. And so I think...
This is a three-make. The only way I'll accept this is if they scramble up all the roles. So like John Krasinski is Michael Scott now and Dwight is Jim now.
Oh, you know? I'd be into that. I would
that would be it. Interesting to me. I also saw Bumper in Berlin. It got renewed and then it got unrenewed. How are we going to resolve Bumper's storyline in Berlin? Yeah. What's going to happen to Adam Devine? You know, I'm just really worried about this stuff.
About Adam Devine in general.
Yeah. Is he going to make it? I don't know.
No, he probably won't. No, he probably won't make it.
Yeah. It's tough stuff. Okay. What's your green light this week?
Okay, my green light this week is, okay, so I greenlit the book Fourth Wing, which was all over the internet, and then I immediately was like, what's another book like Fourth Wing that I might like? And Book Talk showed up for me, and it rarely does, because I would argue most of the people on Book Talk do not have great taste in books, but they recommended a book called Divine Rivals. And let me tell you, this book is fantastic. This is by Rebecca Ross. And here's why it's so good. It's really, so where Fourth Wing is very good, I think, at world building and not as great at character development, although I really liked it. Please be clear. It was a frothy good time. This book is better at character development and the world building might be a little lacking, but it's okay. So it's based on after centuries of sleep. The gods are warring again. And Iris just wants to hold her family together. Her mother is suffering from addiction. Her brother is missing from the front lines. She is trying to win a columnist promotion at the Oath Gazette. Of course, her rival at the newspaper, who she's gonna boink, guys, just know it from the beginning, is Roman Kitt, her cold, handsome rival at the paper. When he anonymously writes Iris back, the two of them forge a connection that will follow Iris all the way to the front lines of battle for her brother, the fate of mankind, and of course, Stoopy Love. So if you read The Undertaking of Heart and Mercy, or you read Book Lovers by Emily Henry, or you read Fourth Wing, you will love this book. It was a delight, a perfect fall immersion. It was so fun. Now, it's a two-parter. I did not know that. And let me tell you how ticked I was when I was like, okay, I got to get the second book. This is a cliffhanger. And it was like, it'll come out on December 26th. And I was very sad. But I think for you now, because I've read this a little bit ago, I think for you now, you can read this and you'll be just in time. Because I read too fast and some of y'all read too slow.
I like the shade there of like, you're going to need like 2.5 months to read through this book.
Listen, some people take... literally 3 months to read a book. Like they do. That's
no
just
shame.
Some people's journey.
Take
There's
your time.
No shame. No Take shame in that. So what's your green light?
My green light is a book that you maybe read in 2.5 months, maybe you read in 2 weeks. I don't know. I don't care how long it takes you to read a book. I love you just the way you are and the way your literacy is.
You don't love them.
it's called The Fish That Ate the Whale, : The Life and Times of America's Banana King. This is about the banana business, everyone. And I know what you're thinking. This sounds boring. Stop it. That's a stupid take. This is incredible. This is one of the most interesting nonfiction books I've read this year. It's the story of Sam Zemuri. He is this guy who shows up right before the turn of the century, right before the turn of the 1900s. And he's an immigrant, doesn't speak the language, doesn't have any money. He starts peddling bananas that haven't completely ripened yet. And he goes from that to arguably the most powerful man in the hemisphere. Along the way, he subsidizes most of Tulane. He overthrows a country's government to the point where the Secretary of State has to be like, yo, you've got to chill out. You have to stop doing what you're doing. And he's like, totally will. And then he doesn't. And he goes like even crazier. But it's a story about generational wealth, the obligation to do something with that. And can you, I think we've talked about this maybe on this show at some point, can you do that ethically? I don't know. He's trying to do that, but it's also just the story of like a hard scrabble dude who literally like makes his way to the elite of the elite in New Orleans. But it's really colorfully told. It's really good. It's really interesting about the banana business, not to the point that it gets boring, but just the fascinating way that business and business rivalries can begin over anything. as long as it is profitable. And that's what happens with bananas. And it tells the stories of bananas and how it relates to our world today. Really, really interesting book. I highly recommend it.
So this is highly reviewed and has won a bunch of awards. Did you, when you read it, were you thinking banana, the banana king?
The whole time. I was like, he's saying it wrong, but it's a good story, so I'll allow it. It'll be fine. Got it. Okay, that is going to do it for this episode of the podcast. I'm Free Garmin, every time you do any shopping on Amazon. Make sure to go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcast first. So you purchase your affiliate link. For item purchasing, that link this week was, Jamie, this is a Barbie chicken farmer doll.
Listen, this is literally a Barbie chicken farmer doll. Like, she has on little hunter boots and her Daisy Dukes and a shirt that says Live, Love, Farm. And her hair's down and she's carrying a little bucket that she's putting eggs in. I love it. It's got 8,000 global ratings, 4.8 stars. But here are where the questions are magical. So first up, someone asked, do the arms move up and down? That made me think that someone had never used a Barbie. But and Cheryl answered, I can't honestly answer this question because it was a gift to a little girl whose family was struggling at Christmas. Cheryl, up in these Q&As, reminded
people give us
how
the name and the address too. God.
And then Ernest answered both of these questions. Ernest answered the question, do all the dolls have freckles? My daughters came with no freckles, and she was really looking forward to having a Barbie that looked like her. First of all, to that question asker, all the dolls don't have freckles. You know how many few Barbies have freckles? Shut up. Just enjoy all the other dolls that you get to play with, because I have freckles, and I'm always looking for a freckle doll. So Ernest answered this and said, I'm not sure. It's a Christmas gift, and it hasn't been opened yet. Again, Ernest. And then the second question was, my granddaughter wants a Barbie that's, quote, not on her toes. Could this one meet that criteria? It's hard to tell because she's in hunter boots.
Sure.
And Ernest answered again, I'm not sure. I bought this for a Christmas present. It hasn't been opened yet.
Ernest, please. You're crop dusting the comments.
Guys, I don't know why you'll ask questions on Amazon. It's never going to work out. All right, you guys, again, last minute, last chance. You can join us in Atlanta. We will all be there on stage. We have some magical, fun guests that are going to be on stage that maybe are like Jamie Grace and Brie McCoy and Kendra Adachi. We would love to see you in person. You can go to knoxandjamie.com/live and you can get tickets. You can also sign up for our solo travelers meetup. There's still time to do that. And no matter what, we would love it if you'd sign up for our newsletter. Note for the audio, we have a fun pop culture fall bucket list coming your way on Friday. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.